Well, hello everybody out there in Music Video Land, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Music Video Land podcast. This Week in Music Videos, brought to you by your super good friends at IMVDB.com, the Internet Music Video Database. This is a podcast where we talk about music videos, the old filmed inserts. My name is Adam, and then with me, as usual, is someone who's just rocking those New York City temps, those New York City highs, 50 degrees all the way up. Just doesn't go any higher than that. And also a curator at Vimeo.com. I've said it wrong so many times that I planned in my brain. I want to say Vimeo.net, but I'm going to switch to Vimeo.com. Mr. Doug Klinger, how are you, Doug?
Doing super good, Adam. No matter how hard they try, we never going to die.
They try so hard. And we haven't died yet.
Too hard.
Yeah, they're wasting their time, essentially.
Take it easy, they.
That's right. And speaking of taking it easy, someone who never takes it easy in terms of life.
Just in any way.
In any way, essentially, is Mr. Adam Alexander from North of the Wall, founder and operator for musicfix.com. Adam Alexander. How are you, Adam?
I'm good, Adam. I'm going to hit you with some French right now. Je suis prêt, allons-y.
Oh, and
what the fuck's that about?
Yeah, give us the translation.
Well, that means I'm ready. Let's go.
Whoa!
Are you feeling a little extra French today?
I'm feeling a bit. Yeah, sure. You know.
Real French.
It comes and goes, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
In waves.
Right. And yeah. So, Doug, speaking of waves, I saw you tweet earlier today that you believe that Kanye West is the most consistent artist of all time.
Oh, yeah, the most.
And that reminded me that, you know, this is tangentially related, music related, that The Life of Pablo is now on Spotify.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a small victory. You know, The Life of Pablo was exclusively on Tidal for a while, and I actually bought a Tidal subscription to listen to it. And now does it move to
Spotify? You got it for 2 months.
How do you know I got it for 2 months?
Well, they gave everybody a free month.
Oh, okay.
A second free month.
Oh, okay. Then I might have not paid anything. I might have just been on the free plan.
Yeah, free to.
But that kind of, you know, it bodes good things for people like us who want to see music not siloed, and especially now that all different sorts of platforms are now hosting videos, we want to see videos not siloed as well. So I would love to see a world where Apple Music is not kind of siloing their music videos, but...
Yeah, just no more silos. Let's just get rid of these silos.
Absolutely. Well, except for Grain.
Well, right. Just the internet silos. Get rid of them.
Okay.
If there were no Grain silos, where would people hide the body?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, you think there's bodies in my Grain?
Wow.
Yeah. Do you guys ever hear about that hotel?
That's an awful story.
Okay, I'm not going to say it.
No, you can say it, yeah.
Okay, well, there's that hotel on Skid Row in L.A. That they, like, renamed because, like, a girl, like, somehow got into the water on the roof and died in there, and she was, like, coming out. It was, like, coming through in the shower and the sinks and shit. People are like, this water tastes like body. Just like, no, they're like complaining about the water pressure, and like the water was discolored, and it was because like some girl got up into the water.
Now she was murdered in there, I believe.
Something happened. Yeah. Well, or something like there's like footage of her on an elevator being all freaked out, and then like. And the elevator's like acting weird and stuff, but she's also acting very, very erratic.
It's a super creepy story. And actually, the thing that makes this the most creepy for me is it didn't happen that long ago. It happened in 2013, I believe.
Yeah. And also, the reason I know about this is because I was like maybe 5 minutes from booking that hotel. And I just like Yelp review or like Yelp search for this hotel. And it was like, yo, this hotel just changed its name. Like search for this hotel instead and like find out what happened. Like I literally had all the shit filled out, like all my information was about to book that hotel to like go to the LA Music Video Fest or something. And I'm like, oh, this hotel's super cheap. I wonder why. And I found out. And like, yeah, then I watched that video and was like horrified. Didn't end up staying there. I'm sure the hotel that I did stay at had murders in it too. They just were less sensational.
Right.
We don't have a video to transition to after that story.
No, none of these
make sense.
Relate to that in any way. Well, some of them were probably made in L.A., so.
Hey. Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, we have a fantastic slate of music videos to talk about this week. And if you want to watch along, I encourage you to go to imvdb.com/podcast, and this is episode 189. And there you will find the watch list. And some weeks we had some questionable videos last week in terms of quality, in terms like the Iggy Azalea team video. And I have still yet to do some research on whether or not you need a boarding pass to get on a private plane. But I still stand by my assertion that you do not, nor do you have to pass any sort of security of any kind. We have like some legit fantastic music videos this week. Would you boys agree?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I picked them.
That's right. Yeah. I
picked Iggy last week. So,
well, I kind of want to start with this Carly Rae Jepsen video. What do you guys think of starting with that?
I'm game for that.
Whoa, now support too. Yeah, well, I know you're game because you're going to see her.
That's right. I am.
When in what sort of venue are you going to see Carly Rae Jepsen?
It's actually in an arena. It's a terrible venue, and the tickets were insanely priced. And she's not the main act. She's only the opener, so she's probably going to play like three songs tops.
Yeah, but also it won't be full when she performs. So,
mm-hmm.
who's the main act?
Yeah, who's opening? Who's Carly Rae Jepsen opening for?
It doesn't make a lot of sense, but Headley is the main act.
What?
So really? I don't know. Aside from the Canadian connection, I don't get it.
Interesting. Mm. Because I've seen a lot of think pieces about how Carly Rae Jepsen's album Emotion, I mean, it's a fantastic album. I don't think any of us would dispute that, but it kind of underperformed in terms of sales and in terms of chart position.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a lot of articles over the past few months with people kind of scratching their head, like, what happened? I mean, this album had everything going for it. It had Carly Rae Jepsen, who was, you know, most known for having a massive number one hit single a few years ago, and it had a ton of
closing in on a billion views too.
Billion views for a music video that honestly isn't that great. I mean, if you watch that video, it's probably the weakest. I think if it makes it to the billion club, which eventually it will, obviously.
I don't know if you can. I don't know if you can quite say it's the weakest. There is now nearly 25 videos. I think that's 21 billion view videos, and I wouldn't with confidence put it in the worst category. Oh wait, what do we got Sorry up here for? Let's get this out of here. This ain't a music video.
So wait, where is Sorry? Well, the dance video? That's a music video, isn't it?
Nah, it's part of like a feature.
Uh-huh.
They did like a video like this for every song on the album. Uh-huh. Technically, Sorry is the only video on the internet that's not like an official music video with over a billion views.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Just sort of jetting back to what you were saying there, I actually have a theory about the underperformance of Emotion, and I actually think that it's largely on account of some very weak initial videos, the music videos, especially the Tom Hanks one. But aside from the one we're going to discuss tonight, which is quite good, the other ones are all very weak, and I think that's where they dropped the ball, to be honest. They could have had a lot more attention on this album.
Yeah, now that you mention it, that's right. I Really Like You, directed by Peter Glanz, has been, I think, pretty rightly lambasted on this podcast for me. A really terrible video. I mean, and it's tough to look at anything that's like so. It's a happy video. It's a colorful video. It's got some fun things in it, but overall, I think fails as a concept. But this came out more than a year ago. So right. they're reaching into the. This is the fourth single off that now.
Carly Rae Jepsen album is also an album that the people who I know listening to it are like, it's the same kind of like Justin Bieber with his new album. Like, it became like okay for like masculine dudes to listen to Justin Bieber suddenly, and like he had like an album that kind of matured, and the folks listening to that I know who listened to this Carly Rae Jepsen album were like not the people who Call Me Maybe were marketed at.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the Runaway for With Me video and Your Type video, both amazing songs. I feel like I've watched both those videos. I feel like I'd be hard pressed to describe either of those videos. Maybe except for Your Type, which is
Your Type actually had some redeeming qualities. It was as close as we had gotten to something worth watching anyway.
Boy Problems is actually the first single that I was exposed to off this album. Because I was recommended it by a coworker, and they said, "Hey, check out this album." And currently my fave hot track is "Boy Problem."
But Sia co-wrote this song. If that gives anyone any kind of a measure to,
She did co-write this song. There were some great co-writers on this album, which I think is why people are surprised that it kind of underperformed in the way it did. This video has a few interesting elements to it, and one of them is the fact that, and I think Adam, you pointed it out on Twitter, that Carly Rae Jepsen has a different hairstyle in this, and there's been some haters around that.
There have been. She's been rocking this for a little bit now, but this is the first video where we've seen the stylish mullet cut.
Yeah, it does kind of a mullet kind of quality to it. It's kind of like a very messy, short hairstyle. Where previously Carly Rae Jepsen has had like a, I don't want to call it iconic, but it's been her hairstyle where she's had bangs, very, very like straight bangs. That's kind of been her look. And so she's completely shed that in this video because she shed the hairstyle in general.
This whole video feels authentic. It's got like a very authentic feel to it. It's got a feel of like just some like certain directors try to certain directors will try to take a pop star like Carly Rae Jepsen and try to like figure out how to like feel like a 20-year-old girl. Like vibe with a 20-year-old girl, a vibe and aesthetic. And what this video does is it just got a 23-year-old girl to direct it. And I think the like authenticity of Petra Collins as a director comes across in this video, and it just feels a lot. And like the people in the video, the casting, it just feels a lot more like real individuals, more so than kind of like the people that a director thinks should be in a 20-year-old girl video. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Yeah. I get what you're saying, for sure.
And it's interesting because there are these different sort of, you know, girls, and Carly Rae Jepsen is kind of noticeably the oldest one of them all. I think Carly Rae Jepsen is late in 1985, so she's a little bit older than...
She's 28, I think.
No, she's 30.
She 30 now?
Yeah, I'm kind of...
I do think Carly Rae Jepsen is a little bit older than you'd think she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's born late 85. Don't quote me on that, but I think she's...
You can look on the internet.
Yeah. Can I nominate someone to look on the internet for that?
Yeah, she's 30, 1985.
Okay. So she'll be 31 whenever her birthday rolls around, whenever that
November is. November 21st.
There we go. Hey, a Thanksgiving-style birthday. Well, in Canada, it's not... It's American Thanksgiving style birthday.
Mm-hmm. But I think despite Carly being a little bit older, I think that the vibe that they're trying to get is a youthful feminine vibe, and it's certainly achieved.
That's still the thing that she does, right? Like that's still, despite emotion being a little bit more sophisticated, it still has definitely that youthful teen, like young adult quality to it, you know?
Yeah, but there are some weird things in this
video. There are. The casket stuff was...
Well, there's two things that like jump out at me. Like, so Kylie Rae Jepsen has a blinged out iPad in this, so it's definitely not supposed to be set in any other different time. But there are this group of three girls that look like they're set in like a 1980s style office, which was an interesting choice. And I feel like there may be some sort of reference that I'm not getting here. But they're all set like in an office. Like there's this one girl who has braided hair that, and they're all like 90s style monitors, and up on her cubicle wall it says number of days until vacation 23. And there are all these different girls are all part of the same scene. Like there's three of them. Like the one with the big kind of like furry earrings, she's part of the office scene. And then, yeah, there is this casket. There's this girl in this casket whose arm is sort of rigor mortis into taking a selfie, but she's not dead. There are a lot of really strange things going on in this video that are kind of fascinating.
Which probably adds to the authenticity, because we're like three old dudes and some stuff went over our heads. So,
well, it's not so much over our heads. This stuff all very much comes from Petra Collins. Is kind of – she's a – Petra Collins, if nobody really knows, she was she's like known primarily for her Instagram account. I guess that's at least where she first started making waves, because she was kicked off of Instagram for uploading a picture where her pubic hair is exposed. It's like a picture of just kind of like her, I don't know, like from her belly button to her knees, and she's wearing underwear, but like you can still see her pubic hair. Anyway, it's a weird thing to talk about. But this got her kicked off of Instagram, and there was like a big, you know, this became a big story, and I think there might have been a Tumblr post or something associated with it. Anyway, she's a photographer and a filmmaker, and kind of just like a personality and a just like an internet person. And so she does a lot of these things that kind of like play with kind of like beauty expectations and like just like this whole kind of like way your like females are presenting themselves world on the internet. And I think that this video kind of toys with a lot of that stuff as well. It feels very at home with like the stuff that Petra Collins has been working on and doing in the last couple of years.
And what else do we have in the database for Petra Collins?
I think this might be her first music video. She's done a... so I know about Petra's work, so this video was shot by Kevin Hayden and produced by Anchorlight, which are friends of IMVDB. Kevin is Isaac Ravishankara, frequently shoots with Isaac Ravishankara. We talked to Kevin for a DP... our cinematographer profile a few years ago. And Kevin and Petra started working together a couple of years ago. And basically like she was she was a photographer and doing some film stuff, but I think her and Kevin really like started to develop a voice together. And so most of the stuff that they've done together up until this point has been like short doc stuff. And we staff picked her over at Vimeo for like a short doc about high school cheerleaders. They did like a series of docs about kind of like high school age girls and dance throughout the country. And they went on this like long road trip, and it was a kind of like branded content for a fashion brand. And Petra also does a lot of stuff with Rookie Mag. And I think Rookie premiered this video, if I'm not mistaken. I think this is her first music video, but like she's got a really fresh, unique voice. She was on like the Dazed 100 list that came out not too long ago that is like meant to highlight all the kind of like young, youthful voices. And so she's definitely kind of like on the rise. And this is a pretty big music video opportunity for somebody who hasn't really done a lot of music videos yet. But, you know, really what she brings to the table is this kind of authenticity and this voice that we're talking about.
And it's a beautiful music video. I mean, in terms of the way it's shot and the colors, and it's definitely a new, like, visual voice for Kylie Rae Jepsen. And that's completely separate from the haircut.
Yeah.
This video kind of puts her in a supporting role, which has not really been the case for a lot of Carly Rae Jepsen videos. She's usually front and center. I guess we'll save our favorite video, I Really Like You. But like Your Type is basically spotlight on her, Runaway With Me is spotlight on her. And the same for previous videos as well. But I mean, you know, despite what, and you're probably right. Like I probably don't get a lot of this because I'm not in that age group. But I still like it and appreciate it. So I loved this video.
Yeah, it's got a really great style and just some really great
colors.
The colors are great. The transitions are really great, though, in the edit and stuff, too. I wonder if Alex Amalling edited this, because I know he edited a lot of the a couple of the docs that I think Petra directed, Alex edited, and he does a lot of stuff with Anchor Light as well. But I was super stoked to see that. In addition to, like, because I knew Petra and Kevin were working together, and I was really excited to see that this video was produced by Anchor Light. That's it's a big deal for Anchor Light, I think, to be able to do a big pop video, because a lot of the stuff Anchor Light does is like a lot, you know, grittier and rawer than this. Mm-hmm. And it's always good for a production company to kind of show that you can kind of live in both spaces.
And a lot of these, like, if you just take, like, sort of screenshots from this, they do kind of have an Instagram quality. And I'm thinking specifically of the scene with the casket. It's got this kind of, like, color overlay that kind of reminds me of a particular Instagram filter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to think of if we'll see that, you know, Instagram influence on younger directors like Petra Collins and other ones that are going to be coming out now and in the next few years. Because every director that I can think of has an Instagram account, and they do, you know, kind of amazing work on that. Even, you know, talk about here, I think we've mentioned Hiro Murai's Instagram account on the podcast a few times, and even just like a pretty mundane shot, Hiro will manage to make really, you know, amazing looking. And so it's definitely like a method of artistic communication for them.
And I also think because in addition to Instagram, I'm pretty sure there was when Petra got kicked off of Instagram, which obviously she's back, but she did write like a really long Tumblr post that also went viral. And her, if you like Google Petra Collins, like the two things that come up first are her Instagram and her Tumblr. And as like, there's a term like Tumblr aesthetic that means kind of like just messy. And people kind of use it as like shorthand for like messy or like collagey or like people who are throwing a bunch of like colorful, like kind of like digital feeling, GIF feeling elements. But I think that there is a Tumblr influence that you're going to start seeing that's more widespread but less in your face, that is kind of coming through in this video, where it kind of gets away with having a bunch of pieces that fit into it just in like small places that kind of don't really make sense and fit into the larger narrative, and are just for that, like, just kind of like visually work. And they are able to kind of work them in, especially in a music video that has so few rules already, that you'll start to see this type of, like, I hate to call it a Tumblr influence, but it just feels very much like that it kind of has a slight kind of collage, photo blog influence, where like everything feels so much like one thing, and then like one other thing kind of fits into the mix that is kind of along the same lines, but is a slight variation or turn, but it still kind of fits the larger piece.
Oh, for sure. And I guess I'm not plugged into the Tumblr aesthetic as much as my Tumblr experience comes from the subreddit, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like something about Tumblr, where it takes the most ridiculous things coming from Tumblr.
And yeah.
Puts them, you know, just screenshots them. So that's mainly how I experience Tumblr.
Petra's Tumblr is girlsandguns.tumblr.com. So, like, the fact that, like, it's a bunch of girls taking selfies and, like, suddenly there's a casket, like, that... That's Girls and Guns. You know what I mean? Like, that's right up that alley. And so it's exciting, though, that, like, there is these, you know, young female voice, you know, filmmaking voices emerging. And Petra is definitely somebody to kind of pay attention to. And I'd be really excited if she started doing more pop videos, because that's a place that could definitely use some authenticity.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's, you know, that's honestly, that's what gets a lot of exposure for music videos, is really authentic and really artfully done pop music videos. Not to say that the ones that are for more, you know, for lack of a better term, underground artists aren't appreciated. But, you know, you think of the ones that have kind of been breakthrough ones over the last 10 years or so. A lot of them have been really breakthrough pop videos because they have the most exposure. So that's awesome. That's and yeah, we will link to Girls and Guns Tumblr in the show notes.
Totally. And excited to be able to do that. And the interview with Kevin. Let's link to that too.
That, you know what? And I swear you guys can come after me if I don't have this in the show notes, because I'm writing it down right now. Interview with Kevin Hayden. So let's talk a little bit about another video. Another one that I wanted to thought we would discuss is the Chance the Rapper video.
Cool.
And this is
called... It's one of two Chicago rappers that are featured on this podcast this week.
That's right. And I feel like this is the video that Chicago is featured in the heaviest.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a video, I think the last time I've seen Chicago this one much in a music video, you have to go back to Kanye West's video with his song from Graduation on it. I can't remember the name of the song, but it featured Chris Martin and featured Kanye West kind of like riding around Chicago in the back of a truck. It was all black and white. And featured a little bit of Chris Martin, too, because Kanye West is from Chicago. And famously, Chance the Rapper, as we learned last week in the Iggy Azalea lyrics, that is also from Chicago.
I think we knew that a long time before that, but it was confirmed by Iggy last week.
Right. When I heard the lyrics, I believe the lyrics were something like something like Chicago. No, I take a chance like I'm from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa, wait a second. Are you saying Chance the Rapper is from Chicago?
No way. He just was like brought on to design some Chicago White Sox hats.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I believe it's pretty well known. He's the designer of the Chicago White Sox logo.
No. He actually did design a new, they're not the official White Sox, every game hat, but like some games.
Oh, really?
The White Sox will be wearing hats that were designed by Chance the Rapper, and they have they're inspired by like the Donnie Trumpet logo and stuff. He did it. Austin Vesely, who directed this video and also did a podcast with us, or just me, directed this video and the commercial that Chance did for the. There was actually some controversy this week. I decided to leave it out of the show notes and stuff because I didn't want to harp too much on it. But the White Sox have like named Chance the Rapper to be like the team ambassador. So like much like the way Drake is the team ambassador for the Toronto Raptors. And it just kind of means that he like shows up to games and helps kind of bring attention to the team in certain ways. And like last year, Drake lobbied very heavily for the point guard or the shooting guard for the Raptors to make it into the All-Star game. And since the All-Star game is decided by social media votes, he got it in by just like getting retweets himself. Like retweets are counted, and he was just like retweet this post and I forget the kid's name now, but anyway, the shooting guard on the Raptors. So Chance the Rapper is serving a similar purpose for the Chicago White Sox. And he was even asked to design a couple of hats that you can buy and that will be worn in certain games. But anyway, one guy from some writer from the opinion writer from the New York Post, like, wrote this just like shitty, terrible article of like just like shitting on Chance the Rapper, saying that he should not be representative of Major League Baseball, that he's just like a gangster rapper who doesn't seriously, I'm dead ass that he wrote this article, like, that doesn't deserve it. And like, he's like, just Google his name. He's like, I just Googled his name and I found this song called Smoke Again. So he like is cherry picking a song that definitely didn't come up when he Googled Chance the Rapper. He had to find it. And Smoke Again is, you know, arguably one of the most explicit Chance the Rapper songs that was made back in 2013. Anyway, there's been some pushback for him being the ambassador of the White Sox. I don't think that it's going to have much effect, but like, I think the title of the article is like, I dare the commissioner of baseball to read some Chance the Rapper lyrics out loud or some bullshit like that. So anyway, though, long story short, Chance the Rapper and Chicago go hand in hand. It'll be unlikely that you will see a picture of Chance the Rapper and he won't be wearing a White Sox hat or something like that.
Or something with the Chicago City flag on it.
Right.
If you have seen, if you're a fan of the podcast 99% Invisible, like I am, it is hosted by Roman Mars. And Roman Mars recently, this past February, did a TED Talk. If you go to TED Talk's Twitter account, it's their like profile picture.
It's a real TED Talk, not TEDx.
Oh, yeah, not that TEDx bullshit. Yeah, no, this is a full real TED Talk. And, you know, TED Talks range from all sorts of things, like very weighty subjects to sometimes funny subjects. And Roman Mars is, you know, 99% Invisible is a podcast about design. And he did it about city flags. And it was a really fascinating talk and it was funny and interesting. But he identified Chicago's city flag as sort of the high mark for city flags. Because so many people have adopted it and it's become like a source of city pride. So if you watch this video, and this takes place in and around Chicago, and it's called Angels, and it features Chance the Rapper in this sort of like tan jumpsuit for most of it, kind of flying around and sitting on top of the L train in Chicago. And he has a patch on it, which is the Chicago City flag. So Chance the Rapper is very into Chicago, and it's kind of a big part of his image. And this video, I think, highlights better than ever any of his other videos, kind of his love of Chicago. I'm a Chicago expert or anything like that, but I lived there for a year. I lived in the South Loop, and was, you know, downtown, walked downtown every day for a year, and got to really just love Chicago. I think it's an amazing city, and it was really fun to watch Chance the Rapper, because Chicago uniquely has, it's called the Loop, and it is literally a loop that the L train takes inside of Chicago. So if you take a train, you know, inside of the city, it's all elevated. Unlike New York, you know, like if you're in Manhattan, you're underground, you don't see anything. But if you are, for most of the trains in Chicago, if you're downtown, you're on an elevated train, which is kind of unique.
Some of Brooklyn is like that, but
right. But yeah, but like in Chicago, it's like, it's the downtown area. So you're right next to the Willis Tower, formerly the Sears Tower, and you're on an elevated train. So that's what he's on. When he's riding the train around for most of the time.
And it's impressive. They seem to have, you know, like they're all over this city.
Well, it's they not only got access to the top of MTA train. I can't remember what CTA train that is riding around Chicago in downtown. But they also got access to a kind of a famous location in Chicago, which is South LaSalle, where it ends in not a dead end, but the road ends.
It's like a very Batman feeling location.
Well, that actually is where the famous, when I was living in Chicago, they were shooting The Dark Knight, and
right.
they shot the scene where Batman confronts the Joker and the truck flips over. Mm-hmm. That famous sequence was shot right there where they're standing. So they were able to get access to shut that whole area down. Mm-hmm. Which is impressive. And I just love this video. I'm kind of a sucker for Chance the Rapper videos because I love Chance the Rapper. And coincidentally, you know, contrary to this article, I feel like Chance the Rapper is the complete opposite of what this writer is trying to make him out to be.
Yeah, totally, totally. Extremely positive, extremely and he also is just does a lot for the community. He kind of wears the Chicago flag around his neck, you know, literally, but also kind of walks that stuff too, and you know, does a lot for the community and does a lot to give back, and is very, very he does a lot of community work for Chicago, and so he's the perfect person to be, you know, the ambassador of a sports team, you know, especially in a league that has a bit of a youth problem, you know, and this guy is a perfect example of that shit. It's just why there's a youth problem is because fucking stuck up dumb assholes who don't know anything about Chance the Rapper, but have a byline on the New York Post and fucking just basically the name of that article should be I'm gonna prove how old and white I am. get a goddamn life.
Well, it's funny that, you know, one of the lyrics in this song is that Chance, you know, he says, "I haven't changed my cell phone since the seventh grade," which is an interesting juxtaposition to a recent Kanye West lyric where he talks about, I think it's in Real Friends, where he talks about how we had to switch up a cell phone number again. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, even though Chance the Rapper was featured on the first track off of The Life of Pablo,
and did a lot of work on the Waves song as well. And
yeah, he was. I think he's the reason that Waves even made it to the album.
If you listen to Twitter, at least.
Oh, yeah, and I listen to Twitter.
I do.
I listen to the kids, and it's interesting that he, you know, even Kanye West is as more harder edge than Chance the Rapper. Chance the Rapper, I think that's kind of a conscious positioning against sort of a Kanye West aesthetic in a way.
I don't know if it's been so much against Kanye West specifically, because Kanye West opened up the door for a lot of the opposite of what that asshole writer is talking about too. Kanye allowed for a lot of vulnerability and honesty and open-mindedness, and you know, he's the reason we're allowed to wear tight pants. And so, you know, Kanye has definitely, Chance is building on top of some of the stuff that Kanye West started with. But I just think that Chance is a little bit more, I think Chance just sees it a little clearer. Kanye feels like the type of person who's all instinct, and Chance seems like he's thinking ahead a lot more. And
just, much like Kendrick, really.
Yeah, but and it's the same thing. It's the same reason why we've been talking about Chance the Rapper for years now, I feel like, and definitely years. We had Austin on the podcast a year ago, on the so far only 3-episode Music Video Chats podcast, but that was a year ago. And that was still in, and Sunday Candy is way late in the Chance the Rapper game, but he hasn't put out a debut album yet. It's all been mixtapes and Donnie Trumpet stuff and giving away stuff for free on iTunes and stuff. He's being way more patient and way more calculated than a lot of other rappers at his stage would be. And I think that's smarter. It's a lot more calculated, and it seems to come out in other ways as well. And I think, you know, that goes to what you're talking about before, Adam.
Well, you still go to Chance the Rapper on Spotify, and it's Angels is on there. But they haven't even linked his Donnie Trumpet stuff. You have to search for Donnie Trumpet in the social experiment.
Yeah, right.
To find that.
And his first two mixtapes, he just gave them out. You just downloaded them from the website. And so he's doing that again. I think he's got an album or another mixtape slated for very soon.
Chance, is it Chance 3?
I think so. I mean, it's definitely his third mixtape, and Angels is definitely going to be on it. And Angels is a single that's been out since 2015, but the fact that there's now a video for it, and a video that seems like it's, you know, if they're getting access to, you know, Batman's hideout and the train system, you know, there's some sort of a budget behind this video. So, you know, it definitely seems like it's close, but it's still not going to be the album. He still gets to kind of like wait to define what his like debut album is and what that means for him as an artist. He still hasn't signed. He's still just raising his stakes and raising his value. So
yeah, but isn't part of that that he there seems to be some sort of ethical part on his part that he wants to give it away for free, right? I mean, is it just
some of it? I think eventually he'll sign a big deal, you know. But he'll be able to define his terms better the further along he's able to take his career on his own. And him and Austin, if you just look at the videos they did, their first video from for I think maybe Juice was probably their first video in 2013, is them in New York City just stealing shots. You know, Austin with a camera and Chance in Times Square rapping the song with his iPhone headphones in his ear. To like, you know, fast forward three years later, and they're fucking renting out the city, and it's still off of no kind of like major push. It's still off of just what he's done on his own. And so to think of the value that he's added to himself in just those 3 years, that's got to be a part of it. Like, yes, I do think a big part of it is giving back and giving away for free and being accessible, because that's how you succeed on the internet now. But ultimately, this is a long game too.
And it's in such a weird, not weird, but interesting juxtaposition to artists like Lil Wayne, who, you know, jumped into a record deal early with, you know, Young Money, and then...
Ooh, Cash Money Records at the time.
Cash Money Records at the time, yeah.
When he's like 14.
Right, yeah, sorry, Young Money is his kind of offshoot of that. But I mean, that came back to bite him majorly.
Right.
I mean, that has proved, you know, for as much as, you know, Lil Wayne's songs for a long time started with, you know, a shout out to Cash Money, that, I mean, they've now separated, and that turned out to be a very, very bad financial and, you know, possibly career decision for him. And I think,
yeah, he used to call you Birdman Jr. and like be like completely, but you know, the way rappers were compensated during that time was really messy.
Right.
But
I mean, so, isn't Drake is still trying to like untangle himself from the Cash Money stuff as well.
Because, I believe so. I believe there's a lot of, I don't know too much about it, but I think you're right.
Cause he, I mean, that's what, remember that song Bedrock? I think it was like 2009.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of like the Cash Money, Young Money, like everybody on the roster have a verse in this one song.
Yeah, right. Nicki Minaj and everybody.
Nicki Minaj is on there. Drake is on there. I think I don't hear about these things super early, so I think that was the first time I'd ever heard Drake. But there's also some like rappers that have gone nowhere on there. So
right.
Like Gutta, or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
we're just trying to like ride that wave, and then the wave stopped, and they're like, "Oh shit, what do I do?"
That's right. Yeah,
like Lil Wayne doesn't even know what to do right now. What the fuck do I do?
Yeah,
I follow the wrong people. Yeah, totally. So I think we should transition from Chance to Kanye, since we already have been kind of talking about Kanye and mentioning.
Yeah,
there's differences in Chicago and all this stuff. So
there's a new Kanye West video out.
Kind of.
And it's directed by Eric Wareheim. Who?
No, it's directed by Big Bud and Lil Bud.
Oh, okay. So
they're written, directed, and starring.
That's right. We should talk about, you know, what we're actually talking about here, and that is. So Doug, you put this in the watch list, and I had not seen this, and I loved this. This is on Vimeo, and it's It's under Eric Wareheim's Vimeo account, and Eric Wareheim has directed a number of, you know, pretty high profile music videos. He's a known music video director. So when you sent me this, I was like, oh my God, Eric Wareheim did a Kanye West video.
Well, he also, Eric has, and Kanye talked about doing a music video together. Like, right. There was a time when they were going to do a video together, and I can't remember now if he talked about it in the interview that I did with him or in a different interview. But Eric and Kanye were definitely going to do a video together. And also Aziz and Kanye know each other. And if you remember, on Aziz's like first comedy album, the whole like first 15 minutes or so, maybe not first 15 minutes, but like a significant portion, he's got like a whole bit about Kanye and about like meeting Kanye and being invited to Kanye's house and like getting there and Kanye's like listening to his own music. And then like being asked to like go tell jokes for Kanye and a couple of friends and all of this sort of like, they know each other. And then Aziz is also in the, Jay-Z, Kanye West, Spike Jonze video briefly.
All right.
Forgot about that. What's the one where they take the Bentley apart? Is it it's from the Watch the Throne album.
Yeah.
It's Otis.
Otis. Yes. Otis. He's in that briefly too. He's in that video. So my guess is that this is at least done with some level of permission.
But also, Kanye West is known to do, like, so remember when Zach Galifianakis did that video for Can't Tell Me Nothing?
Right.
It kind of has this vibe a little bit, even though that is an official video. So it's not out totally, this isn't totally out of character for anybody.
Not totally out of character for any of the people involved. But despite that, it still feels very kind of like weird and unexpected, because basically the concept of this video is just Aziz and Eric Wareheim dancing around Italy and eating pasta. Is that a pretty good? Oh, and at one point they hump a tiny car. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's just them like eating pasta, like maybe some chocolate fondue in the mix, and just like dancing around Italy. At some points they're riding bikes, but you know, mainly just like dancing and just like the edit is just so like, it just feels just like a mom's travel video to Italy, the way it's edited. It like at some points they're kind of like mouthing parts of the parts of the chorus or parts of the samples, but it doesn't really match. Intentionally doesn't match. Like really rough. My favorite part is the like picture in picture moment when they're like dancing and just like a little picture of them in the corner appears of them just like with like a bib on at a restaurant. And this was all clearly shot. Anyone who's seen Aziz's show, Netflix show Master of None, which Eric Wareheim is a co-star of and also directed a good amount of the episodes, a third or a half of the episodes. At the end of that season, spoiler alert, end of season one, the first season takes place in New York City, and at the end of season one, Aziz's character Dev decides to move to Italy on a whim. So my guess is they're out there either shooting or scouting for season two of Master of None, and and just fucking made this.
That makes perfect sense. That's exactly what they were doing. They're shooting and season two.
Yeah, because even if Eric's not in it, he's probably directing.
Yeah, I think he'll probably be in it. He'll find his way there. I hope he's in it.
Yeah, they have a really fun dynamic. And Aziz and Eric also did like a fake, I don't know if it was a pilot or what. It was uploaded to Jash. It was just like a weird, it was called like Big Bud, Low Bud. Or something like that. Let me Google this real quick. And it was just basically like a fake, Big Bud, Low Bud. Here it is. And it was just like a fake 4-minute like opening credits of a TV show. Here, let me send you guys. We got a lot of good show links for the show notes this week.
This is all going in it. Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Play this, just watch a little bit of this. It's just Eric and Aziz like in like Target brand polo shirts and white, you know, like mayo white shoes and long white socks, just like running around waving, smiling at the camera with like cheesy, you know, 80s theme song music.
It's got a Too Many Cooks kind of vibe to it.
Right.
My favorite part of this is when it's sort of a long shot, because a lot of this looks kind of
your favorite part of the famous video.
The famous video, yeah.
Did we even say that it was for famous? I don't even think we got to, that yet. There's so many moving pieces.
I think we mentioned it in passing. My favorite part is that it all looks like kind of vacation footage. Like, it's not professionally shot, except for maybe the black and white footage of, I think it's Aziz riding on a bike.
Even that feels like iPhone.
Yeah, it just happens to be sort of like higher resolution, lesser noise. But there's also a shot of kind of like a long shot of Aziz dancing down some steps that just kind of every time. That's great.
They're both such great dancers for different reasons.
Yeah, these guys can dance, and
like I think they both. So the enthusiasm level for both of them is really high. But this is one thing I talked to Eric about when I interviewed him for Vimeo, is that he doesn't think he's, like, a great dancer. He, like, wishes that he could, like, express himself through his body better. Like, I would call Aziz, like, a traditionally good dancer. Like, he's able to do, like, specific moves that you can recognize other people doing, and he, like, pulls them off as intended. But, like, Eric is just kind of, like, flailing around a little bit. He's just such, like, a big dude, and he's dressed, like, very nicely. Like, both of these guys have fantastic style. At least as far as I'm concerned, like really great, like cool dude style. And they're just kind of yucking it up, having a good time, and they're letting us in on that good time. And I feel really special to be a part of it.
You know what? I feel special as well. Adam, do you feel special?
I feel super special all the time, especially while watching these unofficial music videos.
Yeah.
My favorite is the long shot of Eric in the meadow. Which is cut with the long shot of Aziz going down the stairs, but those two next to each other are really good.
And man, the pasta, it really cracks me up when it goes to just the like still pictures of pasta at the end. Yeah, I really wish we could add this to the database. But unfortunately, if I was Kanye West, I would 100%. Pick this as this to me would go perfectly in line with the life of Pablo to make this the video. I feel like that would be an amazing move. Yeah.
It already does go perfectly with the life of Pablo.
It really does, yeah.
And Pablo doesn't need any help. It already debuted at number one on Billboard, so that's right. It doesn't need that extra boost from a YouTube video. So just let this Vimeo be the official video. It's already rocking 200K. So by the time this podcast comes out, it'll be half a mil.
It's doing pretty good, yeah. So another one we should mention is, Adam, one you brought up, which is an interesting video, or like a very uniquely formatted video for Daywave, featuring somebody who I don't think we've seen in quite a while, and that is Blink-182's Mark Hoppus.
This video and I will mention that this is the first time a video that I cut from the watch list is being brought out from the grave.
Oh, I didn't know you cut it from the watch. I just because Adam mentioned it. So
that's fine. We can talk about it, but it is a video that I cut from the watch list to make room for others.
Maybe we can find out why you cut it.
Yeah, why did you cut it?
Well, just because I thought the other two videos were better, but that's fine. We can talk about this one.
Well, Adam, take us through it. So, you know, then after Adam kind of defends his video, we'll find out if we should really cut it or not.
Okay, so basically what we have here, there's lots of little things to talk about here, but I'll just make it simple because we've already pretty much made a whole podcast here. But basically what we have here is Mark Hoppus of Blink-182 comes into a room and he's going to sort of like take us through this Daywave video and sort of narrate or just kind of, you know, remark on the video and walk us through it. The camera is facing him, so we don't see the video, and he's got headphones on. He's listening to the song, and he kind of just breaks down the video play by play. Now, the thing is, there is no video. So he basically just, apparently, this was just improvised, and they did a few takes, and he kind of just makes it up as he goes, and it's actually quite funny. It's almost impossible to describe the narrative because he kind of just goes to town.
Well, he does it, so I guess it's not impossible. But
yeah, right. But
it's basically just him like making up a crazy elaborate video. Like he can throw in whatever he wants. So he throws in, I think it's like Chewbacca and Burt Reynolds and just Michael like all Bay these Fox. Characters and all this like big nonsense. I mean, I think the concept for the video is funny and fun. I just don't think there's and so that's fine. You know, I think it's a funny and fun concept, and I think that they also hit the nail the ending, which is good because he's like really excited, happy about the video, and he's like, and that's it. That's Stuck by Dave. Oh, I didn't know it was going to end that way. That was,
yeah,
that's weird. And he kind of just like trails off. Like it's a nice little like, he's like, I don't know about that ending. Cool video. Ending was weird. And like so the way he does it and stuff, it's all funny. But I do think the video kind of in the middle, like the first act, it's like fun because you kind of are understanding what's happening, and then the third act is kind of fun to see how he wraps it up, and it ends kind of well. But kind of in the middle, it just. I wasn't too stoked on that portion of it, but
it's not like
it just kind of runs out of gas.
Yeah, it's not like a technically impressive video, but conceptually, I haven't seen something quite done like this before. I think it works with Hoppus. I think he kind of gives like a funny kind of a performance, and I liked it for that reason. Apparently, it's
why they choose him. Do you think?
What's that?
Why do you think they chose Mark Hoppus?
Apparently, they're friends. I guess they hit it off on Twitter, Daywave and Blink-182. I think based on the merits of they felt that Blink had some very funny videos back in the day. So they approached him for this premise, because they thought he'd do something good with it. Apparently, it's also a parody of a video of some priest watching the Star Wars trailer. I guess it's framed the same way, and he kind of just did a play-by-play similar to this. So I didn't know until I read an article. But
those kind of videos where somebody kind of like talks and describes watching something as a reaction is kind of a new thing. And there's a there's a great Clickhole article or Clickhole video that is entitled "A Man Who Likes Dogs Reacts to the Rogue One: A Star Wars Story Trailer." This is just from a few days ago, and basically, it's just this guy watching the Star Wars trailer and just talking him like giving dog facts during it. They're not even like facts. He's just like, some dogs are nice, some dogs are mean, just throughout the entire thing. It's so weird, but it is also pretty great, and that kind of reminded me of this. So I thought that this was an interesting concept, and in terms of like, hey, if you don't if you want to make something interesting and you only have like time to do one shot and have one location, then this is kind of an innovative thing to do, I feel like, even though it's not maybe not a repeat viewing video, but I think Mark Hoppus does a good job, and it's nice to see Mark Hoppus back in the music video world. Welcome back, Mark.
Thanks for being here, Mark.
So Doug, I'm gonna let you choose the last one here.
Okay, Fooling Around by French Horde Rebellion.
Nice.
Directed by Ariel Fisher.
Ariel Fisher, who... have we talked about her videos before? She actually is a managed page on the site, but just has one video as a director, so that's interesting.
I just approved that management request this week. There so, we go. She's got one other video that I saw on Vimeo that's also really good, too, that we should make sure to add for Booty, Loosen Up, which is also really fun.
Nice.
But I'd like to talk about this French Horn Rebellion video because it's this one is super fun, and it's got a bunch of fun moms doing some fun stuff. So basically the concept is it's a group of moms at a home. There's like a husband, one lingering husband around, and he kind of like you know, this is like a gal's night, a gal's board game night. And, you know, the last lingering husband kind of like makes his way out. He grabs one carrot from the vegetable platter that's out on his way out and gets out the door. And then the moms break out the game. And it's like a box that like a regular board game would be in. But inside are like these crystals, would you say? They kind of reminded me of the like geodes or something that people would have. I think geodes is the word that people would have like when we were in elementary school, just like on their desks and shit. It would just be like, looks like a rock on the outside, but inside it's like blue and shards.
Yeah. It looks like you might get at a natural history museum gift shop.
Yeah. Right. It's like right next to the like petrified dinosaur poop.
Exactly.
Is one of these things. And so each of them take it out and they're like kind of like glowing, and they kind of emit this light that kind of washes over each mom takes one of these things and they kind of emit light over the moms. And then, it kind of brings each of them into like a fantasy world, right? Is that kind of what happens? And then each of them are kind of like living out these individual fantasies, that include, you know, like being fed bagel bites in a bubble bath or like being like rock dancers or like just kind of like having crazy good sexy mom time. And then at the end of the video, like the lingering husband comes home and like what you think might be like kind of imaginary or not really happening, but kind of like, you know, kind of just in these moms' heads, you realize it's for real and this is really going down.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think it's ever made entirely clear what these situations they're imagining or that are happening as a result of the crystals are. I think there are kind of various interpretations. Like one of them could be, at first I thought it was maybe like them reliving their youth in a way. Mm-hmm. But then there's one scene where like one of the women is kind of like a high powered boss of some sort. So I think it is kind of living out their kind of like unfulfilled dreams in a way, which kind of, there's moms kind of get a lot of, I think are stereotyped as being people who are in a way missing something or have like undisclosed like interests in things that they just can't pursue because of the demands of
their because they're moms.
Right. And I think that kind of feeds into that. Like, because it's in the beginning, it's made kind of, they go to great pains to portray this as something that's like super kind of dumb and lame. Like everybody's coming over for a board game and they even have like one of those party banners where you can spell out things and it says ladies night.
Yeah.
The L's upside down. It's just, it's made out to be sad. And then,
yeah, the whole point, the whole idea that they're eating, like ranch and carrot sticks.
Hey, don't knock ranch and carrot sticks.
Oh, they're delicious, but they're just not very like fun and glamorous. Like being fed bagel bites by a sexy man is way better.
Is that what she's being fed? Oh my wow! I totally missed that. She is, because as I watched that, I was like, "What is she eating?" And that's a bagel bite.
Yeah, those are 100% bagel bites.
Adam, did you eat
pizza bagel in the bites? Morning, pizza in the evening?
Yeah, we've got bagel bites. Are you kidding? In Canada,
was that Adam, the guy who tweets about fast food? Knows all about those bagel bites.
Gotta do it.
Did you eat them as a child?
Bagel Bites came around. Maybe they came here late. I was definitely not a child when we first got Bagel Bites.
Yeah, because we recently, maybe about a year ago, went to a friend our age's house for like a kind of like a, not a party, but like a get together kind of thing. And she served Bagel Bites. And I was like, wow,
I haven't had these. That's a good party.
I came here for the party and you brought the party to me.
I'd fuck with some bagel bites parties.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there was mozzarella sticks too. And I was like, yeah.
Put that celery and ranch away. Bring out some bagel bites.
Shit away from me. 100%. But I really, really enjoyed this video. I thought it was really great. Really fun. The characters were all really fun and just, yeah, I just had a good time with this video. I watched it a bunch this weekend.
And it's funny, I didn't notice that there was, because one of the moms turns into a dancer, and and she's, you know, she's black, and I just, like, didn't even, they're all dressed so kind of uniformly in the beginning and uniformly boring. I just didn't even notice that they weren't all white for some reason. So it's kind of a testament to the fact that, like, you know, the way they're styled as moms, they just become this homogeneous group.
Moms become moms.
Right. And I was like,
they lose any other identifier. Is that your point? But like, once you become a mom, you lose everything. Oh man.
Well, just the way that they're styled over the top. I feel like the moms that I know, I think all, you know, our moms, of course, are way cooler than this. They're as cool as the people doing the dancing.
That's the second half of them. Yeah. The second half versions of the moms.
And then doing coke and having an EpiPen stabbed in their heart. That's one of their desires, apparently. So
yeah, well, that's a fun moment. It could, you know, and it's obviously very much a Pulp Fiction moment. But it fits in. It, like, because if it is fantasies, like, you're gonna pull these fantasies from somewhere, right? Like, right. it's not like they're just like, oh, let's throw in this moment. Like, it actually is rooted in the idea. And so
This to me could be like a, remember that movie where Nicolas Cage is a weatherman? And
it's called The Weatherman?
I think it's called The Weatherman.
Yeah, it is The Weatherman.
And he, like, gets a chance to, in some sort of, like, fantasy alternate reality, become, maybe it's called The Family Man.
Yes.
There is a Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh, there's two. They're both movies. So, Jesus, wow.
For real? Okay, I'm conflating the two in my mind. But there's one where the whole point is, like, there's an alternate reality where Nicolas Cage could have a family. And it's about, you know,
That's Family Man.
And the ultimate, you know, message is, A, you should, that's a good thing. But this could be a movie too, right?
Like, I was just thinking that this could be a fucking, this would be such a great movie.
Of like, you know, just like moms,
you build the story out for each of these moms. They each have, like, shitty husbands, or maybe they're not all shitty husbands, but, like, they all need to escape, and they do. And you just, like, play this out. It could be, like, a little bit like Ghost. It could be a little bit like, The Family Man. It could be a little bit like Groundhog Day, maybe sprinkled in there.
And I was thinking maybe a little bit of Old School and Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and maybe, you know, maybe a little bit of the airport security scene from the
video. Yeah. If they don't work if they don't work an airport security scene into some music video that we talk about next week, I want my goddamn money back, because
all of it.
I'm feeling all the money because, you know, I'm feeling the void. There's a void of lack of airport security scenes from this month or this week's music videos that needs to be filled next week. You hear that, people planning on putting out music videos next week? If you don't have a goddamn airport security scene in there, you better recut
and re-edit. I'm offering this to every music video director right now. If you are in treatment for a music video and you want consulting on where and how you should work in an airport security video or a portion of your video, Doug and I will consult with you for free over Skype.
Right.
For free. Email adam@imvdb.com, and for real, we will consult with you. And you can put us in the credits, and we'll put them on IMVDB.
And we'll put it in the credits. Bow.
So I think, guys, I think we did it. Absolutely.
God damn, we did.
And, you know, as I mentioned before, go to imvdb.com/podcasts, find all these videos.
It's on the internet.
Find the links. Oh, man, we got a sexy Tumblr. We got Chance the Rapper White Sox hat article. We got the
you got that Google Doc there that you shared with me. That was cool.
We got Big Butt, Little Butt on YouTube.
We shared a Google Doc with you?
No. Oh. It was a terrible joke.
You know what? If anybody wants to share a Google Doc with us, just go ahead and do it. We're into
that. Send it our way.
So you know what?
We're Google enabled.
That's the title of the podcast. And we are going to see you guys next week.